Welcome to US Rail Journeys, Series 3. It's been a long time coming, but with the easing of travel restrictions, I have been able to make the journeys I had originally planned for the spring of 2020. So far in this series, I have travelled from Miami to New York on the Silver Star, from New York to New Orleans on the Crescent, and now I'm travelling from Los Angeles to Chicago on the Texas Eagle. I will then complete my 6,684-mile rail tour using the Lakeshore Limited to New York, and then, for my final trip, the Acela to Boston. Episode 26, where we travel from Temple to Fort Worth. Now pulling out of Temple, just passing a site which has a liquid oxygen storage tank with a very faded BOC gases on it. I wonder who the current supplier is. The outskirts of Temple are just like any other that we've passed through. The town was founded as a railway junction in 1881, and it still serves as a major freight railway hub. Today it's a regional medical centre. The Scott and White Memorial Hospital employs over 10,000 people locally. It, along with the Veterans Hospital Centre and other smaller clinics, has made the city home to more physicians per capita than any other community in the United States. Texas A&M University's Medical School is also here. Temple has been dubbed the Wildflower Capital of Texas. It's on the Balcones Fault. To the east lies the Blackland Prairie region, a rich farming area. To the west, the terrain rises with shallower soils over low limestone hills, the northeastern edge of the Texas Hill Country. The station was originally built by the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railway. The first station in Temple was a boxcar. Later, a two-story station was built, and in 1898 a Harvey House was built next to it. The current station, which I think is one of the more attractive I've seen in the last couple of days, was opened on January the 29th, 1911. In 1995, the city of Temple bought 8.5 acres of land around the station, and the Santa Fe Railroad donated the building. In 1999, a restoration work began and it was reopened on June the 8th, 2000. It's currently the home of the Temple Railroad and Heritage Museum and the Amtrak Ticket Office. North of Temple, the Texas Eagle will be using BNSF railway tracks, whereas to the south, it has used the Union Pacific tracks. Nearly 15,400 passengers used the station in 2019. Because we arrived early, we were given the chance to get off the train and have a walk around. I can tell you, it was extremely hot in the Texan summer sunshine. I was also interested to note that this train has one locomotive and is made up of three coach cars, a dining car, sleeper car, and a baggage car. A very short train.
Our next station stop coming up here in just a few minutes will be McGregor. McGregor, Texas. If McGregor's your stop, now would be a good time to look above and below your seat for your personal belongings. McGregor, Texas, coming up.
As the man said, we're approaching McGregor. Currently going through field upon field of farmland. Highway just to the left of us. The occasional car coming along it. McGregor is 25 miles from Temple, and it's another railway town established in 1882 at the intersection of the former Gulf, Colorado and Santa Fe and the Texas and St. Louis railways. The town received a significant boost in 1942 with the building of a government ordnance plant. Texas A&M University has an experimental farm and research centre here. Waco is some 16 miles to the northeast, and McGregor is only 6.6 miles south of Crawford, the site of former President George W. Bush's Prairie Chapel Ranch. McGregor Station was originally built in 1904 by the Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe Railway. In 2019, it was used by 5,365 passengers. As we come into McGregor, there are some small sidings, but nothing major like there was at Temple. No doubt these are from the rail junctions that there used to be. McGregor Station itself is quite a simple affair. Certainly not as attractive as the one at Temple. Some of these fields have already been harvested. I've seen a few of those big rolls of straw. We pass through Clifton with its grain silos, its weary, dilapidated buildings around the railway line. Lots of rust, but at least a part of the agricultural community. Just passing some land now that looks like it's been left to grow wild again. Trees of different shapes and sizes springing up all over the place, many less than 6 feet tall. Then, of course, there's the need for electricity. So the cables crossing the land, even where the population is widely spread out. More blowing of the horn as we approach another railway crossing. There are lots of different types of trees in this wooded edge to the track. Conifers, broadleaves, some that look like ash. Whether I'm right, I don't know. And then some very scratty pasture, hardly a green shoot for cattle. They must feed them supplements. A blast of smoke past the window from the diesel locomotive. Almost like travelling behind a steam engine of yesteryear. Now through a cutting. Is it sandstone, I wonder? The soil still looks very sandy, so I think it may be. Over a little bridge, past a dried riverbed. A water treatment works. That says there has to be a community round here. Although I'm sure they keep the water treatment works a bit out of town. A bit of derelict road with shrubs growing through the concrete. And tyres. Abandoned tyres. This country would be far more attractive if there wasn't so much rubbish scattered everywhere. Such a great pity. Here we seem to be going through some shale. And more dry fields. Past a large pond, I imagine it's for irrigation. Over a dry riverbed. The soil cracked. It's probably months since there's been rain, and it's under the baking sun. Some cattle sheltering under some trees. A pond full of green water, possibly suitable for cattle to drink. Then past a freight train and a siding waiting for us to pass. Endless freight cars
At this point right here, we are approximately 15 minutes to Cleburne, 1 hour to Fort Worth. 15 minutes to Cleburne, 1 hour to Fort Worth. We'll be coming to our station stop of Cleburne, Texas. If Cleburne is your stop, now will be a good time to look above and below your seat for your personal belongings. Cleburne, Texas, coming up.
Our next stop, scheduled for 1 p.m., is at Cleburne, where there was a major Santa Fe Railroad locomotive repair facility, which opened in 1898, with the buildings on the east side of the track. The city was incorporated in 1871, and named after Confederate General Patrick Cleburne. Johnson County's soldiers departed from war from here, many serving under the command of General Cleburne. Lake Pat Cleburne provides water to the city and the surrounding area. Local government is the major employer in Cleburne. The 1898 two-story brick station was scaled down to one floor and ultimately demolished during the 1990s to make way for a road expansion project. Cleburne was at the northern end of the Trinity and Brazos Valley Railway, which opened in 1904. The portion from Teague is now abandoned. The current intermodal station was built in 1999. It serves Amtrak and is the office for Cletran, the local bus service. The unstaffed station has decayed and the surrounding buildings have become mostly abandoned. But still, the station was used by 3,747 passengers in 2019. Now slowly moving out of Cleburne, past the old Santa Fe rail car that is positioned in the car park. On the way out of Cleburne, we pass some quite major industry, including an air separation plant, so there must be some big customers in this area. This time the animals aren't cows, they're horses. Indeed, today I've seen goats as well. But whether you're a cow, a goat, or a horse, it must be incredibly hot for you. A few new houses being built in a wooded area on the slope by the railway line. These look expensive houses. It's quite an estate, but they don't have gardens, just dry patches outside them with a small paved area and barbecue. As we head towards Fort Worth, there's a lot of new building, estates under construction, and what I suspect is relatively new housing already occupied. But the problem is, all the housing is incredibly drab. And of course, lots of crossings for all the rows to support the cars that America thinks it needs to use. In the discarded rubbish alongside the track, we passed everything, furniture, bedding, mattresses, a discarded toilet. In fact, believe it or not, that's the second discarded toilet that I've seen in the last 24 hours beside the tracks. Quite amazing. The other thing that is quite amazing is that in an area where there's so much sun, I haven't seen a solar panel all morning. You would have thought that people would be wanting to do their bit for the environment. Just across the street from a house flying the American flag and into the undergrowth by the railway, you see somebody living in a tent. Living or scratching a living or just surviving. The divide between the haves and the have-nots is incredibly wide. We are scheduled into Fort Worth Station at 1:58 p.m. However, we seem to be running ahead of schedule again, so our stop will be quite long. We've now travelled 1,706 miles since we left Los Angeles. That leaves us 1,022 miles to do in the next 24 hours.
If I can have your attention, please, we'll be stopped here for just a little bit. We got a freight train ahead of us. As soon as he clears up, we will be on our way.
The city is reputed to be the cultural gateway to the American West, forming part of the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex of over 6 million inhabitants. The original fort was a protective army outpost named after Major General William Jenkins Worth, second in command to General Zachary Taylor at the start of the Mexican-American War in 1846. He secured Texas's independence from Mexico, originally won in 1836 at the Battle of San Jacinto by the Texans themselves. The Civil War led to a severely depressed city. It revived when the Texas and Pacific Railway steamed into town in 1876. It soon became a major center for the cattle industry and its associated wholesale trade. It was a final stop in civilization for cowboys driving cattle north on the Chisholm Trail to Kansas. Today, the downtown area is characterized by Art Deco buildings, whilst the Tarrant County Courthouse is in the American Beaux-Arts style. Sundance Square is an 8-block entertainment district downtown. The Stockyards and Historic District also offer the annual Fort Worth Stock Show. It's the world's largest. The Texas Cowboy Hall of Fame and rides on the Grapevine Vintage Railroad or the Tarantula Train depart from the Stockyard Station. There is the Modern Art Museum, the Kimball Art Museum, and the Amon Carter Museum.
In a few minutes, we'll be coming to our station stop of Fort Worth. Fort Worth, Texas. If Fort Worth is your stop, now be a good time to look above and below your seat for your personal belongings. For those of you leaving us here at Fort Worth, if you have checked bags, you'll go inside to the station. Have your claim checks ready. Give them a few minutes to get everything unloaded. They'll bring them up there and pass them out. For the rest of you going through with us, if you'd like to step off, stretch your legs, and have a cigarette, you may do so. We do ask you stay close to the train and listen for the all aboard call. Also, folks, here on the platform in Fort Worth, there is a smoking ordinance. So when you step off of the train, you need to make a left and go to the rear of the train to have your cigarette. Fort Worth, coming up.
The man with the microphone thanks the passengers and crew on train number 422, the Texas Eagle, which left Los Angeles Union Station on Sunday the 3rd of July 2022, bound for Chicago. The US Rail Journeys podcasts are produced and published by the Mr. T Podcast Studio. Thank you very much for listening, and please join me again in a couple of weeks for the next installment.